Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. It's always my pleasure. And like a dream come true. That's not even like a dream come true. It is a dream come true for me to be able to spend time with you every day, every weekday, and share some ideas with you and introduce you to some really smart people and some people who are out there doing it, making it happen, just like you. And we've got that an example of that right now. Todd Parent is a new friend, and he and I have met, so we're not new friends anymore. But he is to you because it's the first time he's been on the show. Todd is in California. He and I met in San Francisco about a month ago. He's a CEO of Extreme Pizza. Extreme, don't you like that? Extreme Pizza. I like the way that comes across. It makes me hungry, actually, to be honest with you. And Todd Parent is our new friend. Todd, welcome to the show.
Jim, thanks so much for having me.
It's good to have you here. You know, folks, I had met Todd. I was out in California working with Wells Fargo, doing some stuff with Wells Fargo, and he was there. I don't remember. We were taping some video, and were you there to deliver pizza? Or were you there? I know that you do business with them. They've interviewed you. You've been one of their shining stars. But why were you there?
So I was there just honestly scoping out what you were doing because they were going to do something similar. For Extreme Pizza. And we actually just wrapped up all that last week. So they did a big photo shoot, which they're going to use in some of their marketing collateral.
Good deal.
And we also had a nice interview, which will go on to some of their blogs and
right.
websites.
So we can look forward to that, folks. And so I was just leaving, and Todd said, "Well, can I give you a ride back to your hotel?" And I said, "Sure." So that's what we went back. He told me a little bit about his pizza company, and I said, "I want you to tell my audience about this, Todd." Tell us about your background that got you involved in pizza.
So my background is very entrepreneurial in nature, but skipping through some of the early summer jobs of making surfboards and cutting lawns and things, that sort, I had an opportunity to study abroad in Paris.
Pizza maven, right?
Or something similar, but they had wonderful crepes seemingly on every...
Yeah.
Street corner, such as Starbucks has now these days, and that was sort of the dream or the spark for Extreme Pizza to bring crepes back to the United States and have them in all these great places. And then, obviously, upon my return with no practical experience, I went and worked in New York on Wall Street for a few years, honed some skills, and was introduced to some folks that owned some restaurant groups back in New Jersey, and went and worked for them, starting at the bottom, learning every...
I'm so glad you're saying this, Todd. Pardon me for interrupting you, but people come to me or I hear about someone who wants to jump into something like the restaurant business or whatever. It doesn't matter what industry. And they just want to jump into it and automatically start a business and start having revenue and being successful. And when I ask them, do you have any background? They say, well, no, I just want to do that. And I say, well, you know what? You probably ought to go get a job doing this and learn some mistakes on somebody else's nickel. What do you think, Todd?
I couldn't have said it any better. That is certainly the fact. And, some of the opportunities that I had at different restaurants, of which there was probably five or six restaurants, that's what I did. I honed my skills. I learned every facet of the business.
And you saw what they did right, and you saw what they did wrong.
Exactly. And then... so after I worked for some different groups, moved out to San Francisco, where one of my sisters was living at the time, worked for yet another concept called Noah's Bagels. At the time, they had about three locations. And
you really paid your dues, didn't you?
I paid my dues, at least
five or six years
in the business before I even started writing a business plan for what became Extreme Pizza.
Wow. Now, folks, that's dedication. I interviewed several times Jim McCann, who founded 1-800-Flowers.
Mm-hmm.
He owned a flower shop in New York City for 10 years before he ever franchised. I mean, he owned that, and he had another job, but he owned it and was operating it with a manager for 10 years before he went national. And you know, those are the kind of, I love those kinds of stories like yours.
Well, I feel really fortunate at this point, 15 years later, having started Extreme Pizza, you know, luckily and finally in San Francisco.
Right.
To, you know, one of, had all that background and experience because there was a lot of takeaway. And then even in starting Extreme, you know, we made our fair share of mistakes. And
would you have made, if you hadn't had that background, would you be standing here today doing what you're doing?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I can believe that. Hold on to that thought, Todd. Going to take a quick break, folks. I love talking to real live entrepreneurs just like Todd Parent, just like you. Tony Tell, stay with us. Does it get any better than Steely Dan? Reeling in the years, yeah. Welcome back. We're rocking and rolling here at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, and I'm so darn glad you're here. I don't know what to do. We're having more fun than you can imagine. I hope we are. I hope you are. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. We built it just for you. Lots of good stuff there. Help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. You can listen. You can read. You can ask questions. Check out my blog. Subscribe to my newsletter. Regardless of how much time you got, we got 5 seconds. You got 5 seconds, we got something you can do there. 15 minutes or anything in between. We got what you need. Check it out at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Todd Parent is our guest. He's our new friend and CEO of Extreme Pizza, founder and CEO of Extreme Pizza, an award-winning company. Fast Company recognized you in 04, didn't they?
They did, yep.
Fast 50, how about that?
Through all of our team's hard work and dedication, we've really appreciated the accolades we've received over the years. So
now you said team. How many employees do you have?
So system wide, we probably have about 1,000 employees now.
Wow.
Yep.
Counting all the franchisees.
Exactly.
Yeah. And but, in your own organization, how many do you have?
I think we have about 250.
Wow. So how many branches do you have?
We are open. We're looking at our 44th location now.
44 locations. How many of them, any of them belong to you, or are they all franchised?
We own 10 of them outright in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Right. And the other 30-something are where?
Predominantly in California, but we operate in about 5 other states, including Seattle, Washington, Portland, Oregon, Colorado, Texas, Virginia, and as of recently, over in Ireland.
Wow.
So we're opening
up. So you're international now. Is it Extreme Pizza in Ireland?
It is. It's called Extreme Pizza.
Everywhere you go. Wow. How about that? This is great. So folks, if you just tuned in, Todd is in the pizza business. We were just telling us the company's name is Extreme Pizza, and he's leveraging his company. He's scaling his dream, his business model, through franchising rather than capitalizing those himself, those expansions himself. And we're talking about, he was just telling us about how he worked for years in different parts of the food industry, from the bottom up to get some good experience so we could start his own company. So you had a great resume to be able to start a food business and to run it successfully. Tell us something you did right and tell us something you did wrong.
Well, probably the smartest thing I ever did was hire smarter people than myself that would work, you know, alongside of me and sort of believe in, our goals. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that was definitely, from a fundamental point of view, like a very wise decision. And then there might be two bad things I did, but the original one, in hindsight, is ironic, but I had a 50-50 business partner when I originally started, and that created all sorts of issues in terms
partners
of decision-making.
Partnerships are hard.
They're very hard.
They work. When they work, they're beautiful, but they're very difficult to make work.
Mm-hmm. And not as a result of the 50-50 partnership. I think our first location, and you always hear that location, was, right, less than stellar at the time. And, you know, somewhat amazingly, you know, we retooled the brand and concept, and that location is now one of our best performing stores and restaurants. So, you know, I think you can still build from, you know, perhaps not a great decision. But that being said, those would be a few that come to mind.
So you bought the partner out, got him gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that happens over and over again. I heard another story about that this week where somebody had to do that. A founding partner things just didn't work out. They're parting friends. But typically, it's the values, isn't it? A lot of the values. Not that one person is not a good person and the other one is, but the work ethic and the way they see the company going, that often is the main reason why partnerships don't work.
Yeah, you know, in my situation, I don't think it was a work ethic. We were both pretty scrappy and young, and, you know, this was our dream and, you know, livelihood. But definitely in terms of the direction and thoughts and, you know, whether it was a short-term decision, hey, should we repaint or should we add pizza ovens or whatever those decisions were, those were the things that sort of tore us apart and, you know, we couldn't decide.
Very interesting.
Yep.
Typically, a lot of partnerships I know, you know, one partner, you know, says, okay, I like this side, and the other partner says, I like that side, and they sort of, you know, kind of keep the you know, they keep those decisions separate. That's an interesting thing. So what made you decide to become a franchisee? I mean a franchisor.
Mostly it was due to all the requests that we had for our pizza in different areas. Hey, are you opening in this town or that location?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we always listen to our customers and try to, you know, give them what they want.
Say that. Whoa. You said something just now. I want you to say again. Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be on the test. This may be the most important thing you've heard on this show today. Say what you just got through saying.
So in listening to our customers, you know, they're more often, or I want to say always, right.
Listen to your customers, ladies and gentlemen.
Listen to your customers, you know, whether it's on a pizza decision or some product offering. But on the franchising side, we were getting requests, you know, to open in some great different towns and where they live, not necessarily where we were at the time. And that just put that, you know, call it, bug or topic in my mind.
But you had to say, okay, we need to go there, but I might not want to capitalize that going there myself.
Certainly part of the process was figuring out, you know, how to go there. And obviously, you know, we could have licensed the cream pizza, and doing all our due diligence, we figured out that, you know, to do it the way we should do it, franchising was the best vehicle for our company.
It's the best way to bring in partners without them actually being really your partner. Stand by, quick break, 10 till we come back. I'm going to ask about the menu. Yeah, we're going to talk about some food right after these messages. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thank you very much for hanging out with us. Little Dan Fogelberg bringing us back. And we're having a great visit with Todd Perrin, and a new friend, soon to be not such a new friend. We're going to have him back and keep us posted on how things are going in his franchise pizza business. And Todd, you were just telling us, by the way, give us the website of Extreme Pizza.
www.extremepizza.com, and it's all one word with no spaces or hyphens or anything.
Now, why did you come up with that name? I mean, I know you're an extreme sport guy. You like mountain biking and surfing and things like that. But was that where you got the name?
Very much so. You know,
like the X Games.
Wanted to incorporate all the fun things that, you know, I enjoyed in my life, and, you know, the outdoors activities and such, into the workplace, so that, you know, even when we're working, we're having fun and remembering all the you know, great times that we had.
So it's high energy pizza.
Very high energy pizza.
So this is when people come to your pizzerias, they know this is not good. They're not going to get your grandfather's pizza.
You know, we offer pizza in all different ways. So we wanted to, you know, have the more traditional style, but certainly the you know, craveable signature pizzas are sort of our you know, what we specialize in.
One of my favorite pizzas is a pesto pizza with goat cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Do you make one of those?
Well, we have a few pesto pizzas.
You know, not goat cheese. Like, I mean, you still got the provolone. I mean, you still got the regular cheese on top, but there's goat cheese inside and sun dried tomatoes. You got anything like that?
Very much so. We have a pizza called the Mr. Potato Head, sort of a play on, you know, the little kid's toy.
Yeah, yeah.
With pesto and new potatoes,
oh,
with some feta cheese,
hey,
basil, oregano, some onions.
I like
so,
that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very flavorful.
That's what I'll have. That's what I'll have when I come out there, which I plan to do next time I'm near you. Okay, so we're talking. I want to get back to the franchise thing. So you, we've done a lot of shows on my program on franchising, being a franchisee, being a franchisor, and there's a lot of people probably don't realize how much work and planning and expense goes into becoming a franchisor. Because you've got to set something up that can that will work when people do it exactly like you say to do it.
That is correct.
That's your obligation, isn't it? I mean, you tell them, you know, when you spin the pizza dough, spin it to the right. Don't spin it to the left. They got to do it that way.
That would be the ideal situation. And, you know, what we find is that, you know, 99% of the time, all of your procedures and policies and things that you've honed over the, you know, the course of developing your brand are followed. But by nature, I think anyone starting a business is an entrepreneur in some form or fashion. So they want to bring their creativity and uniqueness to the brand. And that's, you know, one of our challenges, many others. But just to make sure that we keep them excited and keep them you know, interested in building their business, but again, building it with some of the core, you know, processes. And
well, you've got to strike a balance, don't you, between following things that work, but not tamping down innovations that might ultimately work.
Absolutely, and to that extent, you know, we have annual pizza contest, and we always encourage franchisees to submit their, you know, latest and greatest best pizzas that they may have been selling, you know, as a special, daily special. So on the, you know, innovative or innovating side, you know, we want to make sure that they're involved day to day, you know, and keeping the brand new and current.
Do you have a meat lover special?
Yep, we have plenty of those as well.
See, I like the pizza that keeps on giving. You know, that's good pizza too.
We have the yard sale, which is sort of
a
skiing term, if you will, which also you know the typical home yard sale, but it's a little of everything, you know, in the house, so to speak.
So if somebody other than the high energy thing, if somebody's considering your pizzeria versus another kind, what would be the main thing that you consider to be a differentiator?
Really, it's the quality of the pizza. Pretty much everyone, not only franchisees, but anyone that's tried Extreme Pizza really are wowed by not only the creativity and the combinations, but the high quality.
You can tell the difference between good cheese and not-so-good cheese.
Absolutely.
And the dough, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no question.
And making it fresh, you know, by hand every day, chopping the veggies, grating the cheese is all part of our system. Nothing is, you know, nothing is frozen.
But probably, you're probably not the cheapest pizza in the country either, right?
You know, I'd say we tend towards the more expensive side, honestly.
Yeah, but you're still successful. And what that means is there are people out there who are willing to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you got to do. You're sticking to your knitting. Hey, Todd, thanks for being here. Congratulations on your great success. Let's keep up with each other. I want to see how things are going down as things go down the road.
Well, I would very much appreciate you know, keeping up with you, Jim. And thank you again so much for having me.
Enjoyed it very much. ExtremePizza.com, folks. Check it out. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.